The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Gospel passage we have in front of us today, it's actually a good bit more complicated than it seems on the surface, but I would prefer to give you the straightforward line this morning. So I'll give you a little bit of a clue. When Jesus tells this parable, he's not merely talking to one person, he's talking to a nation. Okay, that's your clue for also interpreting this passage in a deeper way. And if you want to check your interpretation, then feel free to send me an email or give me a call, and I'll let you know whether you're hot or cold. We'll work it through that way for the curious, right? So let's go with a straightforward look at this particular scripture passage today. It actually reminds me a lot of when I was teaching in high school, though I don't like to remember those days. I don't like to remember my own high school days, and teaching was another reality in and of itself, but it reminds me of the way that I would start my class. We're talking about sophomores and seniors. I would ask, "What are we doing here?" You can imagine having me as a teacher, right? I mean, you know, you're tormented enough by listening to me Sunday after Sunday. Imagine every day of the week. Say, "What are we doing here? Why are you here? What's the point?" Well, we're in theology class because it's part of the requirements for graduation, right? It doesn't go any deeper than that. It's part of the requirements of graduation. So, okay, fine. Well, so I'm assuming that you want to graduate. Well, of course you want to graduate, Father. Well, why? What's the point? Well, we want to graduate so we can go on to college. Why? Why do you want to go on to college? I mean, I was there. I don't know what's so special about it. Tell me why you want to go out. Well, because if we don't go to college, we're not going to get a good job, right? So on and so forth. And we can see this parable playing out in our minds. You can imagine, what are the lofty ambitions of our young people? You can go and ask them. And keep asking them, why? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Be annoying, right? Like me. They won't mind. What are their ambitions? They want to retire early and enjoy their riches. That's true. They want to. We, as a society, somehow, this value of life is preeminent. Early retirement and enjoying what we've amassed. Isn't this exactly what's going on in this passage? Isn't it exactly what's going on here? And how can we at least pity our young people that we've put them on that conveyor belt, that they've bought into that? It's like a deferred happiness. And they're okay to be totally miserable now in order to have a few things to play with when they're 60, 70. When is retirement going to be for them? When's retirement going to be for me? It's not going to happen, probably. So how do we then address this issue? When we're asking, what's the point, what's the purpose? we're really getting at what is the meaning of life. Not in that, you know, I know that for some people that question even is ridiculous. What is the meaning of life? It's a Monty Python, right? Completely ridiculed the idea that life has any meaning. And I think as a society, we've kind of taken that on. If someone asks you that question, what's your response? Because if you can't answer that question, then we can't get at today's meaning. If we don't know what the meaning of life is, and perhaps even we could ask what the meaning of death is, then we're not going to get at what is the meaning of this, what is my life's meaning? What is my purpose? And what the way that that question is ultimately resolved in class is when the students will say, when I ask, well, what's the point? And they say, happiness. That's what's going to make me happy. Because happiness is not something that we pursue for any other reason. Everything else we do, we pursue for some other reason, and that reason tends towards happiness. But here, and this is what Jesus is getting at, he's digging at, what is happiness? What is it that makes us happy? And it's not being rich in the things of the world, and it could be money and possessions and storing them away and enjoying them at a later date. That's what we think. It could be perhaps power, or prestige, or whatever it may be. But none of those things ultimately is going to make us happy in the true and full sense. Because here it's temporary, we see it, that we can store up treasure for ourselves and that treasure will be taken away from us for whatever reason, however it happens. And I'm sure for all of you who have invested in storing up treasure for yourself, I imagine also that you've thought about the many ways that you can lose that treasure. It's all consuming. Or power and prestige, what is it built on? Why is it that we have that power? Our elected officials, for instance, what is it that makes us prestigious? What is it that makes other people think well of us? Maybe it's our good looks. I mean, for me, I get that all the time, right? It's my good looks. And yet I'm not going to have my good looks but I'm not going to have them for forever. So if it's based on my good looks, then it's slipping away, right? My happiness. So where are our hearts here? Where are we grounded? Right? On what rock is our life founded? The only thing that's going to give us full happiness now that will not be taken away from us is the love of God. It's just simply the love of God. And here then we can ask ourselves, are we rich in what matters to God? We were made for, can I make it sound complicated? We were made for interpersonal union with our Creator. We were made to share everlasting interpersonal communion with our Creator. What does that mean? It means that we were made to live in an exchange of life with God. That's the ultimate meaning of life. That's where we're going to find our happiness. And that's where we find even the fruit of the Spirit, what the riches of God's Spirit are given to us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. All the beautiful, fully flourishing human life is here, ours for the taking, if we but make God the very center of our existence. He already is the very center of our existence, but we have to will it also. We have to want it also. And so it's not just then, but this can sound like a bit of a static reality. If you understood what I just said, I'm saying that we're supposed to share our hearts and our lives with God. And when we do, we're going to find happiness for ourselves. But it's not a static picture as though, okay, we're going to achieve that and we just stay in this church 24/7. I don't want you to do that because we have to clean the church. But you want to stay in this church 24/7 and stay here and that's it. Well, some people may be called to a life of contemplation, to the monastery or something, but most of us are called to have what we call an active life. But it begins here in contemplation, in finding our lives wrapped up in the life of God, in finding ourselves poured out for Him, that He now pours His love into our hearts and then through us into the world. So it's not just that we have this meaning and purpose, a life filled with meaning and purpose. We do. But God is calling each and every one of us to a specific role, right? We all have a specific role to play in bringing about his loving rule of mercy, of peace, of justice to the world. The world looks deader and deader by the day. This is me speaking. The world looks deader and deader by the day. And I would say that it corresponds to our withdrawing from the public forum. We have to bring what we receive here out to the world. The world may be deader and deader by the day, but here we receive, we who have become rich in the things of God, receive his very life here, that through us, God might breathe his life into that world.